If this were not live, we would stop and start it. Let's move on. In Old Testament times, centuries would pass without any word from God. Have you ever been a year, a month, or even a week without a word from God? Can you imagine centuries passing and God had nothing to say? The Bible says about those days in Old Testament times that the word of the Lord was rare in those days. That was the case in the days of Samuel, the prophet. But the Bible says when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son. He was born of a woman, and he was born under the law. He had to be one of us. He had to be subject to every temptation we are. And he had to survive it and pass every test. And the God in him allowed him to do that. He became like we are. Now, for a group of shepherds who were watching their sheep that night, it was an angel who came and gave them the sign. The angel gave them directions how to find the Christ child. For the wise men, it was the Christmas star that guided them. Listen to the story of the shepherds and an angel bringing them good news. By the way, angels throughout the entire Bible are messengers. They bring us a message. They also minister for us and to us. They are our servants and ministers. We don't worship angels. They minister to us. They bring us messages. And if you'll do a word study of angels speaking throughout the Bible, you will see that the number one message angels bring to humans when they speak to us on earth, the number one message in Scripture delivered by angels is this: do not be afraid. In Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 8, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. There are a few words in that passage that should be underscored. We should all realize this. The angel said, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. All. He didn't say, I would bring good news that would affect only 90% of the people on earth, but to all people. The price he paid in his lifetime was enough for all salvation, for everybody. He didn't leave anybody out. And then this will be a sign. Signs are wonderful when we need one. Now, we're not led by signs. We don't follow after signs. In fact, the Bible says signs follow us, those of us who believe. But the sign of angels speaking and bringing good news for all people to the shepherds that night, and the sign of the Christmas star shining so brightly in the sky that it gave light to the footsteps of the wise men as they were on their way to find the Christ child. A star, that Christmas star, was a sign. Because before the star began shining that night, pointing wise men to Christ, God was silent. He did not fellowship with man. We were still a sinful people. The price for our sin had not been paid. Only his son could pay that price. So we were separated from God. I shudder at the thought of living a day like that. And yet our forefathers lived for centuries without hearing God speak a word. And they were unable to get to Him. The presence of God was held in a box. It was called the Ark of the Covenant. Now you can enjoy, I can enjoy the presence of God anywhere, anytime. But it was not so before the Christmas star shined that night. And the star that shined in the sky that night put an end to God being distant. When that star began to shine and the wise men discovered the Christ child, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy because they knew what that meant. The star and the Christ child meant that from this point forward, God would no longer be distant, but He would be present with us. His name is Emmanuel, God present with us. So the wise men were led by a star, and the shepherds were led by an angel. But today, we are led to the Christ child by the Holy Spirit that's been poured out in the earth and lives in me and in you. Everything changed because of the star. Now God was easy to locate. If you're having trouble finding God, He's right here. There are some of you in this crowd this morning that don't have as much peace as you need in your house. We have it here. Some people who are burdened down with the cares of the world. And this can be a stressful time of year, even though it's the holiest day of the year, when you can cast the weight of those burdens and troubles over on the Lord. You can do that here today. Some, they have never embraced Christ to be Lord and Savior in your life personally. Now, He is that to the world. He's that for all people. You are not excluded, but if you don't know Him in a real way, you can find Him today before you leave. The star was a sign that the days of wondering how to find God were over. And from that night on, God's been easy to find. He's as close as the mention of His name. And He's listening for us to call. Now, take a closer look at the story of the wise men for just a minute. The wise men came to Jerusalem following the star. And when they got to town, they asked this question: where is the one who was born king? Where is the one who is born king? And this occurred to me yesterday in reading the Christmas story. I've never seen this before. I've never heard anybody say it. But where is he who was born king? Was their question. Jesus is the only baby that has ever been born king. The only one. Even in our modern day, all babies who were born into royalty were born a prince or a princess, but never born king. As is in the case with Prince Charles now, Great Britain, Mama, the Queen, and she's up there in age. She's in her 90s. Her husband's 98. And, I think one of the reasons the Queen is living such a long life is because all of her lifetime, or since she became Queen in her 20s, people have been saying, long live the Queen! And so she is. There is something to be said about the power of our words. So from now on, when you look in the mirror and you see yourself looking back at you, speak long life to yourself. But when the Queen dies, then Prince Charles, and he's in his 70s, still a prince. He will not know what it is to be king until, they'll tell him how old the boy's going to be. Mama might outlive him. Same with Prince William. He was born a prince. Now, that's royalty. That's as good as it gets in the earth in terms of monarchy and kingdoms. But they were not born kings. They were born a prince. And then later in their life, they ascended to the throne. But this child, the Christ child, the moment he was born king. And not just king, not just king of the Jews, but king of kings. Where is the one who was born king? There's only one that's ever been born king. And then let's take a closer look at the shepherds. Shepherds, we don't understand their job description today. We don't have any shepherds in the house. We have some goat owners in here. Some horse owners, horse traders. But probably no sheep owners. But to be a shepherd by vocation, 2,000 years ago, it was the lowest class in their socioeconomic order. People who were not educated or people who were not expected to offer much were given these jobs. They were a despised class of people, and they had a bad reputation because a few bad apples spoiled the whole barrel. And they were nomadic. They didn't stay still. They would roam the countryside. They were like gypsies, and they wandered from field to field with a flock of messy sheep with them. So they were social outcasts. They were not even by Roman law allowed to give testimony in a court. And because of the filthy nature of the job of a shepherd, they were not allowed to observe many of the Jewish ceremonial rituals in the temple. They were unfit. They were religiously unclean and unacceptable. And yet, with this lowest level of humanity, God chose to show them where he was. Sent angels. Go and tell the poorest of people how to find me. God reached out first to those at the lowest level of life. That's what gave Jesus the right with integrity to stand up in the temple one day and say, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the good news to the poor." To the poor. We are all supposed to be poor, at least in spirit. Always hungry for more, never satisfied with where we are. But Jesus said, "I'm anointed to bring the good news to the poor." I'm so glad it was that way. Now, it's hard to understand how the Son of God, if he were ever to decide to become a human and to be born a baby, and to share a human experience on our level, so far beneath his level, you would think he would be born at the Ritz-Carlton or some fancy, it would be 9 months getting ready for the arrival of the Son of God. But no, he came in obscurity. He was born in poor, humble circumstances. He was born, even though he was the Savior of the world and the Son of God, born without any fanfare or any trumpets. And this is how God quietly slipped into the world as a little baby. He gave up his deity to become the least and the lowest among us. And that's why he also said in the New Testament, "If you do any good deed to the least of these, you've done it unto me." Because he identified with the poorest and the lowest class, even the shepherds who were despised in their day. He made sure they found him first. Should keep us all humbled as we seek the Lord God. Imagine the King of all, the Son of God, becoming the servant of all. And compared to modern day monarchies, and we don't have many that we're familiar with, Great Britain, England, of course, would be the one we're most familiar with. There are other monarchies and other kingdoms about Queen Elizabeth and the royal family. And Larry King's guest made this statement, speaking about the Queen, Queen Elizabeth. Larry King's guest said, "She reigns, but she does not rule." And that's what Queen Elizabeth does. Now, centuries ago, the king or queen of England did both. They would reign and they would rule. But many years ago, that was changed in Great Britain. And now, the prime minister, what's his name, Boris? And love his hair, don't you? Boris, pull him up right now online. Look at that hair of his. And then Parliament, they do the ruling. They do the laws and the governing. So the Queen reigns, she has a throne, and she's the leader of the royal family, the head of the monarchy, but she does not rule or govern. But I'm saying to you this morning, the one that was born king, he both reigns and rules. Listen to how he rules. In Daniel 4:17, it says, "The Most High God rules over the kingdom of men." Why don't you let him all up in your business? He rules over the kingdom of men. Psalm 66:7 says, "He rules by his power forever." Psalm 103:19 says, "The Lord has prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all." And then the Bible has some things to say about his reign. In Psalm 97:11, it says, "The Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice, let the multitudes be glad." And in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12, the news gets even better. It says, "We shall also reign with him." So this baby that grew up to change the world and my life and yours rules and reigns in the earth, even over the kingdoms of men. And today, it doesn't require an angel like the shepherds saw that pointed them to Jesus. Or it doesn't require a bright star in the sky like the wise men saw that pointed them to Jesus. Today it's the Holy Spirit in us that reveals the truth. And some of you may not know what I'm talking about. I don't think you most. But let me just ask in case. Have you ever had inside of you a stirring? It wasn't natural. It was something at the core of who you really are. It's your spirit man, the part of you that's eternal, the part of you that will never die. The person you see in the mirror is not you. That's the house and the shell and the carton and the temple. It's your temporary residence. But deep inside this body of flesh dwells your spirit. And it will live forever. It's an eternal spirit, either in heaven or in hell. And the Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to everlasting life. And so the Spirit of God stirs us and nudges us and it draws us and it leads us. And if we will follow and agree with the Spirit of God as he leads us, he will lead us into all truth. And the truth will set us free. A lot of people think that you make a decision. Just you make it, and we do play a part in the decision. We have to agree with it, yield to it, embrace it. But before I decided to choose Jesus, he first chose me. And none of us have any hope of getting to God, having a relationship with God, becoming conversational with God himself through his son Jesus. None of us have a chance to do that. Can you even begin? But he is the one who began. He's the one who chose us before we realized we were chosen by him and we said yes to him. And so today is a great day to celebrate the gift that changed the world. And it's a great day for each of us to look inside and see the shape our spirit man is in. Some of you may be dead in trespasses and sin, and your spirit has never been born alive. When you were born a baby, that was your nature, your flesh, your physical body being born. But the spirit that dwells inside each of us remains dormant and dead until we're born again by faith on the Lord Jesus. And it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. Before we can ever have enough sanity or strength or courage to say, I've got to find God. Well, he's already made it easy. He's everywhere right now. He's omnipresent. And it's his goodness that's drawing and nudging. Some of you, maybe even right now, you know, your life can be changed before you leave here today. I feel like I'm talking to a few people who don't know the peace that is available, don't know the forgiveness that's already been paid for, don't know the quality of life that starts in the spirit and then affects everything in the natural around you eventually. But you can know that today before you leave. And it's because of God's goodness that he's nudging you and drawing you and pulling you and leading all of us closer to where he is. The Christmas star means that Christ is now with us, not separated from us, but he's right here where we are, and it's easy to find God from this point forward. Listen to the power of these holy days. Christmas has music all for itself. I mean, there are satellite channels right now playing nothing but Christmas music. They were written and recorded and performed to honor the birth of the Christ child. I love some of the lyrics. They're so spiritual and scriptural. The song, O Little Town of Bethlehem, has a line that says, yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. Isaiah 9:2 says, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. And then the Christmas carol, O Come, All Ye Faithful, has a line in it, one of my favorites for Christmas. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. That's so biblical, because the Bible says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The song, God Rest You Merry Gentlemen, listen to this lyric. To save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. The prophet Isaiah speaks to that. He said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him, speaking of Christ, the iniquity of us all. The song, Joy to the World, has a lyric that says, he comes to make his blessings flow as far as the curse is found. Have you ever wondered if you're under a curse? Some people live their lifetime believing they're cursed. Some think they inherited it generationally from the great-grandparents and the grandparents. And right on down, it's landed on you and your generation. Well, Christ came to make his blessings flow just as far as any curse can be found. His blessings flow and overtake the curse. Joy to the world. And then I think this is my favorite lyric in a Christmas song. It's in Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And it's the line that says, God and sinners reconciled. 2 Corinthians 5:18, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. I want to close this morning by mentioning that not only on Christmas Sunday like we are today, but every Sunday, all over the earth, somewhere in the neighborhood of 2 And they do it every Sunday. Some do it more often than that. And they do it to worship. They do it to show reverence to God. They do it to show respect to God. We do it to honor God and to pay homage to Him. It is our worship. And it exploded all over the earth when that Christmas star began shining, pointing wise men. And then shortly thereafter, every human being, pointing them to the location where they can find God through His Son, Jesus.